Folks, we're going to make a start to our service tonight. Others are coming in, but it's good to be as punctual as we can. And we have our organist and pianist tonight. So the opening hymn is 574. 574, He Will Hide Me. And as we did on the Lord's Day, we're going to listen to the music. We're not going to sing outwardly. We are going to sing inwardly, in our hearts and in our minds, thinking over the words and endeavouring to worship the Lord as we do so. When the storms of life are raging, tempest wild on sea and land, I will seek a place of refuge in the shadow of God's hand. So good to have a hiding place, a place of refuge, a place of safety, a place that we can run to in our times of need. And these days have been times of great need, haven't they? In so many ways, sorrow and trouble. As we come to seek the Lord in prayer, I have a request I want to bring to you, and that is for the family of Alistair Owens. Alistair is Trevor's brother, Trevor who is a member here, And we want you to pray for this family in the midst of sorrow and tragedy, because this home has been plunged just yesterday into awful grief, and Alistair's daughter Emerald has died in very tragic circumstances. Just a young woman of 29. So let's seek the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow at the footstool of mercy. We enter thy courts. We come before thy holy presence. And we do so in and through Christ, the Redeemer and the Saviour of men, the one who is our great High Priest, seated on high, the only High Priest, the only one that can give us access to the Father and bring us near to your throne, where we are fully accepted in him. We thank thee for the blessed Jesus, our Saviour, our friend, our advocate, our Redeemer. And through the Lord Jesus tonight, we come to this house of God to worship thee. We sing this hymn in worship, even though we have not been able to sing it audibly. We have sung it together in our minds and hearts. We have been able to think about the hiding place, the refuge that we have in a time of storm, the one that we can run to at all times of trouble and sorrow and tribulation, distress, when the heart is heavy, when we are overwhelmed with grief. We can look away to the Lord, seek by your grace to look away from the circumstances in which we find ourselves in, and know that in our God we have a refuge, we have a pavilion, we have a place where we can hide in the storm. And Lord, we think of so many tonight belonging to the church family, and they've been in the storm. Maybe even tonight they're in the storm. And we know what that's like when things are against us in this life and there's pressures and troubles weighing heavily upon our souls, the burdens that we carry, the afflictions that we face, the troubles and the sorrows that come upon us. And this is the experience of our humanity, and it is the lot of all mankind as we sojourn here on the earth. Because this world is a valley of tears. It's a valley of sorrow. But we thank thee that we have a great God. We thank thee that we have this anchor for our souls. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus. And we do pray for those that are in sorrow. And we've been thinking here tonight of the Owens family and the awful grief that has come to Alistair and his home. We think of grandparents. We think of other family members. And Lord, you know the situation that they're in tonight. Even when we don't, even when we fully cannot understand what they're going through, we thank thee for the one who was touched with the feeling of our infirmities, the one who comes right alongside as the comforter. And we pray that the presence of Christ will be the portion of those who mourn, those who are in difficulty tonight, those indeed that are recovering from sickness. Lord, be with them. Be with us as we meet here around your word in a few minutes' time, and the season of prayer that will follow. We look to thee for your blessing to attend our time together, the last time for a little while when we can publicly meet in God's house. And Lord, you know how much we love the house of God. We'll be seeing later how the child of God loves the place of worship. We know that being a Christian and being in the place of worship go hand in hand. We know that those who go on with God, they go on in fellowship. They feel somewhat like David who loved the courts of the house of God, who joyed going up to the place of worship. And when he was in exile and removed from these things, you know how much he lamented over the fact that he could no longer be in the sanctuary worshiping the Lord. But here we are tonight. We have this privilege. It's going to be removed, in a sense, from us for 2 weeks. Keep the congregation over that period of time. Bless us as we come back in your will of God to preach to an empty church again for this period. And Lord, we pray that you will overrule in your great providence, that you will bring blessing to your church, even in what is adverse circumstances. We pray that the Lord will do even mighty works and exploits among us in these days. May we not be weary with what's happening. So easy to become weary through so many circumstances of life. But may we not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We know that's the promise of God. So dwell with us now, and Lord, draw graciously near in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to go through the announcements with you just now. We bid you welcome to you in the meeting tonight that have made it to the Lord's house, and others that are joining us in sermon audio or on Facebook. Tonight we will be having special prayer for missionary work and revival. This is the Thursday night when that happens, and we had the deputation for Simon and Hannah Snodgrass, who are going to Scotland to work with CEF. But there was nobody here, and therefore we couldn't have a deputation offering. So we'll make that facility available tonight, even as you leave, to encourage the Lord's servants. And the prayer cards and information, it's all in an envelope just as you leave, and on the table out there in the foyer. Friday night, the youth fellowship is at 8 o'clock. That'll be by Zoom. And just to remind you, young people, chapters 22 to 24 of Genesis are to be studied for the quiz. And Stephen Fletcher will speak on Christ's exaltation. The Bible class then on the Lord's Day, 10:45. God's gracious governance. This is the final one in this series, as Phil brings this to the attention of our youth. And that will be by Zoom. Worship services will be online, 12, noon and 7, as you listen in on sermon audio on Facebook. Thank you again for your contributions to the Lord's work. Now, there are some copies of the order of service for Dr. Kearns' Thanksgiving service, kindly printed by Joe Cosley. There were only enough on the day for the congregation, and he had a few extra, but he has sent me a few more, and if you'd like a copy of that, you'll see them as you leave this evening. There's also a free booklet. It's called A Man of Prayer, A Man with Power, and it's written by the Reverend Alan Smiley, and it's really just speaking about the influence that Dr. Paisley's prayer life had on him, and these booklets are free. Okay, so you can pick one of them up as you leave. Just to mention again quickly, the book, God willing, it'll be with us, if not this day week, tomorrow week. So we're aiming for the Friday, and we should have the copies then from the printer by then. Pray that this book will be a blessing to those who receive it, and may sinners be led to Christ. May God's people be encouraged as they read the things again that we spoke about during 100 days of lockdown. We're going to keep the second hymn till after the message. Sorry to keep you sitting there on your organ and piano seats, but we're going to turn immediately to the Word of God, to the Psalm 61. Psalm 61. This is a lovely little psalm, and there's just the 8 verses. We'll read it all. We look to the Lord for his blessing and his help, even in the reading. Praying before we come to the message that God will speak to us from his word. This is the word of the living God. We ought to sit up, pay attention as we read it together. Go down every verse, every line, every word, and just have that petition of heart, Lord, speak to me. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. With the open Bible before us, we'll pray and ask the Lord to undertake for us in the word. Our Father, we thank thee for this precious chapter, this lovely psalm that we've read together. Many of the verses, if we don't know it by heart, we certainly can say they are familiar lines to us. We have rejoiced in them. We have meditated upon them many, many times. And Father, as we just look at this psalm again this evening, speak to us. Remember those that are listening in, speak to them likewise. May we know the application of the Word of God to our minds and hearts by the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is the great teacher. So help me, Lord, as I cast myself upon thee tonight, for your grace, your wisdom, and your power. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure the opening verses are familiar to you, and I want to concentrate our thoughts tonight in verses 1 and 2 as I speak on a refuge in the time of storm. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. This little song played upon the harp is a psalm of David. We see that from the title. Evidently, he's passing through a time of distress and difficulty. It is believed that he penned these words during his son Absalom's rebellion. Absalom won over the hearts of Israel. He conspired against his father. He proclaimed himself as the king in the nation, and he sought to kill his own father. And so David had to flee Jerusalem with those that were faithful to him. He became an exile and a fugitive. David still had his armies with him. And so they go into battle. They fight against the forces of Absalom. And in the fierceness of the battle, as Absalom attempts to escape, he is slain. Remember how he rode under the branches of the oak tree in his hair that he had taken so much vain pride in, caught in the branches of the oak tree. And there he was, suspended between heaven and earth. And Joab and his men came and terminated his life. During this devastating trial in David's life, we learn of at least two occasions when David wept. And he wept bitterly. First of all, at the start of the rebellion, when David was forced to flee the city of Jerusalem. If you go back to 2 Samuel and the chapter 15, I want you to mark the 30th verse. David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they wept. They went up weeping as they went up. So David is weeping here. He's fleeing Jerusalem because of Absalom's rebellion, and his eyes are filled with tears and his heart with great sorrow. And then, secondly, at the end of the rebellion, though the victory was won and Absalom's revolt was crushed, yet David's heart is overwhelmed at the loss of his son. And I'm sure you can identify with this. If you go to the end of chapter 18, the news has been brought to King David that Absalom was killed in battle. And the king, the last verse of this chapter, verse 33, and the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate,
and wept. And as he went thus, he said, O my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son. And as you read into the next chapter, it was told Joab, behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people. For the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. And so it was in the midst of this very deep trial, maybe at the start as he wept outside Jerusalem at the Mount of Olives, or maybe at the end when Absalom is finally slain, when David wrote the words of this psalm that is before us. And you see how he begins. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. In his time of grief, he flees to God. He makes his grief and distress a matter of earnest prayer, and he finds a refuge in the Lord. And this is all that we can do. When we find ourselves in a similar position to that of David, when we're overwhelmed, when our hearts are filled with sorrow, when we're passing through the difficulties of life, we must learn to run to the Lord, run to him in prayer, as David does here in this psalm, and know what it is to have a refuge in him. There will arise times of testing and trial for us all, when the heart is overwhelmed with griefs and burdens too heavy to bear. Sometimes we are afflicted due to personal and willful sin, unbelief, carelessness. The rod of chastisement is applied. And even then we should submit ourselves unto the Lord, knowing that he is our loving heavenly Father. And if we are brought under the rod of chastening, it is because he loves us. And then at other times we have no particular reason, or we can't find a particular reason or cause why we enter into the dark valley, as in the case of Job. But again, we should submit and refuse to charge God foolishly, knowing that his ways are perfect. The child of God knows that his Father is too wise to err, and he's too good to be unkind. We must learn to make our troubles and trials a matter of prayer. David prayed because he had proved God in the past. You'll mark what he says in the third verse. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. So he's coming to the Lord in this time of grief, coming when the heart is overwhelmed. And he's saying to the Lord, I've proved you, Lord. In the past, you were a refuge for me then, in the words of verse 3, a shelter, a strong tower from the enemy. And he rejoices in the God that he had proved in times past. And this was a great encouragement to him. And then he was led to say, I will abide, I will trust, I will sing. I proved God in the past. Right now, I'm in a dark place, a time of great grief and sorrow. But he's looking to the future, and you see the language of verse 4 and also verse 8. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. And verse 8, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever. David knew of a refuge in his time of storm, and he fled to him. And so very simply tonight, that's what I want to speak about for a few minutes, borrowing, as we give a title to this message tonight, the words of the hymn that says, a refuge in the time of storm. That's the message I want you to think about this evening with me. It's the message I want you to take home with you in your heart tonight. Now I want you to notice as we come to our text, particularly verse 2, that there is here his painful experience. Look at the language that he uses. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. He's passing through one of the most darkest valleys that he's ever had to encounter, either through the rebellion and the treason of his son or Absalom's death. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. If you think of the first part of what David was enduring with the rebellion of Absalom, this young man that had raised himself against his father, you could hardly take that in. Or if it was at the end, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh is now lying in the stillness of death. He's in a dark place. You see, David is in exile here. We see that partly from the expression that he uses, from the end of the earth. This is an expression denoting a painful sense of removal to a great distance from the dwelling place of God, especially from the dwelling place of God. The country that was east of Jordan, into which David had been compelled to flee or to retreat, was not counted the Lord's land properly. That part of that was across the Jordan on the other side. In this country, the psalmist felt himself, as it were, banished to the extremity of the earth. He was far from the face of God. He was away from the city that he loved, Jerusalem. He was away from his home, away from his family. He was away from his throne. And more importantly, he was away from the tabernacle of God, the house of the Lord that he loved. To the godly soul, separation from the ordinances of worship is a sore trial. The man who loves the Lord will miss the house of God if he's deprived from that privilege. What a privilege it is, even tonight, though fewer in number and in the circumstances in which we meet, to be in the house of God. What a blessing it is in normal circumstances to be able to come on our Sabbaths and at other times too and meet as a congregation of people in the place that God has promised to be there, and God has promised to be with his people at all times, to worship God, to be in God's house. And David loved the house of God. And you know the language that he uses many times over in the Psalms that he wrote, that speak of the joy that he had going up to the house of God to meet with God principally, and to meet with those of like precious faith, but to meet with the Lord. I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me. And it was with a quickening step that David made his way to the place of worship, but that's been taken away from him. He's in retreat, he's in exile, he's across the Jordan, he's at the end of the earth, he's away from the place where God is worshipped, he's away from the temple, he's away from the city of Jerusalem where the temple was located. And it's when that blessing is removed from us, then we understand how much we miss God's house. And that was removed for a little time, wasn't it, during lockdown? And it's going to be for this 2-week period, and I hope it doesn't run on any longer than the 2 weeks. But that's going to be taken away from us. We will be deprived from going to the house of God. And we may feel ourselves in this extremity at the end of the earth, away from the place of worship, because as God's people, we love the house of God. And that's where David is. But the phrase that is used here, the end of the earth, may not only be viewed geographically, in that he was physically removed by a geographical distance from the house of God, but it can also be viewed metaphorically. And David is saying, I'm at the end of the earth. I'm about to fall over. I'm at wit's end. I can't go on. I can't take any more. That's how he's feeling when he uses this expression here. Have you ever been there, child of God? At the ends of the earth, at wit's end, you hardly know what to do, where to turn. Yes, David was in exile. The language also shows us here that David was overcome by sorrow. My heart is overwhelmed. And the idea here is that the heart was enveloped with trouble. Anxiety and grief wrapped his soul like a garment. Terribly bitter and painful were his experiences. He's overwhelmed. Huge waves of trouble were washing over his soul. He was completely submerged.
God's people can have this experience. Troubles that sweep over us, just as the mighty billows of the ocean sweep over and submerge the sands. Troubles that threaten to leave us like helpless wrecks. Have you ever had that kind of trouble? Smothered in, covered with grief, submerged with sorrow. It can come. Our souls can know the bitterness and the desolation of great sorrows and severe trial. Like David, we can have times of anguish when we feel the absence of God, perhaps through the rebellion of our own children, as it was in David's case, or the ingratitude and treachery of those we esteemed as our friends, as happened with David, or perhaps through some other pressing trial and trouble. We're not exempt, brethren and sisters. When such times arise, and they will, we have the great privilege of committing the matter to God in prayer. And that's what David did. So you'll notice, secondly, his prayerful exercise. Look at our text again. We'll read verse 1 and then into verse 2. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. David seeks an audience with God. His pain and his distress drives him to the Lord, drives him to his knees. He calls upon heaven to give ear. Hear my cry. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. His heart is overwhelmed, but he resolves to pray. I will cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. It's hard to pray when the heart is drowning. And yet pray he must. There are different Hebrew words that are translated cry in the Old Testament, and they have slight variations of meaning. The word can mean groan, it can mean cry out, it can mean cry out in pain. It can mean respond or pant, long for, even scream and roar. In these opening two verses, two words are used. The first one, in verse 1, is the word that means a loud cry. Hear my loud cry, O God. And the second one, in verse 2, has the thought of calling. From the end of the earth will I call unto thee. And the force of the passage is that kind of cry, when you cry after one that you see at a distance, and you are afraid that that person is going to go further away from you. I'm sure you've all had that kind of experience before. And David is so distressed, he feels that God is at a distance. He feels that God is withdrawing himself, that God is going even further away. And so he cries out to get the attention of the Lord, to draw him back. His prayer was a cry. He was in earnest. He shouted. He lifted up his voice on high. He certainly did not come to God with a cold and careless fashion, but he cried with the greatest of importunity, earnestness, and fervency. That kind of prayer where in the very soul you're saying, I will not let you go. Won't let the Lord go. I'm going to hold on to him. And this is what we must learn to do when we find ourselves in similar conditions or positions that David was in here in this psalm. Tribulation and trial brings us to God. And thank the Lord tonight brings God to us. Faith is to know that in our most desperate situations, when our soul is swallowed with grief,
shut in with thick darkness, that God is near. Near enough to hear our voice and to receive our prayers. James says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. I ask you the question tonight. Are you afflicted tonight? Any among you in this congregation? Is this where you are? Let him pray. I do not know your dark valley, perhaps. I know many of the things that are happening in these days. We share with many of the sorrows. But I don't know it all. But I do know that we can pray. We can be like David, his prayerful exercise. Then I have a third point that I want to leave with you tonight. In verse 2, his passionate entreaty. Because the last little part of the text here in verse 2 of Psalm 61 reads, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Here David is crying, he's calling upon God to attend to his prayer in this extremity of life from the end of the earth. And he's overwhelmed, my heart's overwhelmed. There is pushed forth this passionate entreaty, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. In his fervent cry, David had a deep longing. He had an earnest petition. This entreaty could read more correctly, lead me to the rock that is too high for me. Now, that is a rock too high for me to get onto by myself, except God helps me. The language is very remarkable. It gives us the idea of a man suffering shipwreck. The vessel in which he has been sailing has sunk. He has been plunged into the mighty ocean. The waves are buffeting him. He is struggling for life. He is panting for breath. He's just about to go down. All hope is gone. But suddenly he discovers a rock towering above him. If he can but climb onto the top of that rock and get a sure footing, the billows will not be able to reach him there, and he will be safe. But he's got no strength of his own to do that, to climb. He's weak, he's powerless, he's weary, he's perishing, and so he needs help. And that's what he cries for. He cries for someone to come and someone to let down the rope or stretch out the hand and to bring him to safety. That's the thought expressed here. David is like that poor wretch. He is so spent and exhausted, he cannot reach the rock by himself. He shouts aloud for a helping hand, for someone stronger than himself. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Guide me, direct me to it, for I'm tired, I'm worn, and I'm weary. I am at the point of death. I'm sinking. I need rescued from the deep. I need a helping hand. David knew of that rock that was higher, even as God and Savior. He proved him, remember. He proved him in the past. Thou hast been my shelter. Remember, we read it there in verse 3. You've been the strong tower for me in the past from the enemy. And he's going to trust him for the future. I will, verse 4, abide in thy tabernacle. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. That rock is Christ. By prayer and faith we are led to him. In times of trouble, in seasons of distress, I come to him, my rock. That's who Christ is. David emphasizes the fact of God, his rock, in the next psalm. You've got the Bible before you. If you look there into the Psalm 62, in verse 2, he only is my rock and my salvation. In verse 6, he only is my rock and my salvation, stressing this great truth again. And in verse 7, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Thank God tonight for our high rock when we can flee to him in our times of need. Oh, safe to the rock that is higher than I. My soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine would I be. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. How oft in the conflict when pressed by the foe, I have fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. How often when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O thou rock of my soul. There is safety from the greatest hurricane that can arise. Being brought to this high rock, we are lifted far beyond the reach of the angry waves. You see the picture. Are you burdened tonight? Are you heavily laden? Are you sorely oppressed and distressed? Has the battle become too severe and injurious? Have you entered into a deep conflict and dark valley? Do you feel overwhelmed as if you're sinking beneath a crushing weight? Do you feel overwhelmed tonight? Then pray. With cries of earnestness and expectation to the one who can stretch forth his mighty hand and lead you to that high rock of safety and security. It is Christ. That's where we must run to. May we pray, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When we're in this place, the end of the earth, what's the end? Overwhelmed by our situation. Here's when we need to cry. May we be led to Christ, who is the rock of ages. Let us pray. Father, we give thanks for your word. Thank thee, Lord, it is a timely word. It's always a timely word. When it's a word from thee, we praise thee afresh for Christ the rock, the place where we can run to in our times of need. And we pray that you will apply your word. Help us to remember the psalm. Help us to meditate upon it. Help us not to forget about it as we leave this meeting tonight, but to take your word home in our hearts and to think about it, mull it over in our minds and souls. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will really apply the divine truth of this text to us all. Many times we find ourselves in a similar place as David was in here, and we are overwhelmed by our circumstances. We hardly know what to do, where to turn, where to go. But Lord, we can go to thee. We can run to the rock. We can pray even when we're so weary that we can't get onto the rock ourselves. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, may that be so for your poor, afflicted people tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. So now we have our hymn, and we will think it over as we come to the place of prayer, hiding in thee. Oh, safe to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine would I be. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. This hymn taken, of course, from our text in the Psalm 61.
We come to prayer tonight. We will give just a moment or two for someone to pray over each slide that we show. So we're really thinking about the ministry of the gospel here in this house, all aspects of the work, just to set this before the Lord tonight in prayer. And you'll see missionary work at the bottom there. This is the night we remember our missionaries especially. So let's bow together before the Lord, and we'll ask some brother or sister to lead us now at the throne of grace on behalf of the work and the witness here. Family of Alistair Owens, and we'll just take this as a separate issue tonight. Prayer to remember them. Think of those suffering with COVID-19. We're very glad to be able to say that for our own congregation, most who have had it are well on the way to recovery, but it has left with quite a few a weakness and a tiredness. And those of you who have loved ones and family members that are suffering this way, you know what they're going through. So let's continue to pray for them. Pray for a divine intervention. We've called our nation to prayer. Our presbytery has called the nation to prayer, at least those who have responsibility. They should do that at this time. We've asked them to do that. And it must begin at the house of God here among us to ask the Lord to stay his hand in these days and be pleased to intervene and rid us of this pestilence. And do remember those in the front line as they continue in the National Health Service to do their part, that the Lord will be with them. You could remember also Dennis Lyles, Pastor Dennis Lyles' son Mark. Mark was taken into hospital yesterday. He had been suffering with COVID, and oxygen levels had reduced in his body. and they've discovered that there is pneumonia in his left lung. So let's remember this man in prayer, that the Lord will be with him and raise him up to health and strength again. Maybe somebody can lead us for these things, please. We did have Mark on a separate slide here, just to add to the information. Because of the infection, his heart has been racing and they were having difficulty getting the heart rate down. So that's a matter that you can set before the Lord later on tonight. We continue to pray for the sick and the needy of the congregation, those that have been in hospital, those that are recovering, those that are facing treatments. The wee boy, Corey, as he's come through major surgery, that the healing touch of God will be upon all these individuals. So we'll ask someone, please, to lead us in prayer for the sick and the needy. You can look up just for a moment. You've seen this before. I just want to acknowledge the kindness of those who brought in for this appeal clothes and shoes and stationery, things like that. You've been very kind and generous. You know the children that are going to benefit. We have never seen these children before. We've never been with them, but this is where the pastor's wife is now working. And so the boxes were prepared and all parceled up with the many things that come in. And then they have to be weighed individually and they have to be measured just so we have a record, and all photographed. So there's at least four photographs for each box. And there are six boxes shipped today to the school for the poor children, containing clothes, stationery, toothbrushes and paste, and selection boxes. Always good to get a selection box. And three boxes additionally shipped to Moldovanova, to the school there, and to the Roma children. And these contain mostly selection boxes for Christmas for them and some clothes. And there were some good gifts that come in, substantial gifts that come in, that enabled us to purchase some new tablets. We were able to send enough money to get five new ones for the poor children. And there was more money come in, and I hope tonight to be able to send another £700 to help with this. This is the children working at home, not able to go to school, and per family. So there's one of these per family, and they're all set up in such a way that you can't put games on it. All right, it's for study, it's for school, but it's done in such a way that they're not going to be idle. And these are some of the families. Quite a few of them have professed faith in Christ. And there's Pastor Sabine on the right side with his mask on. You just might recognize him there. And there's this wee family. They needed some kind of refrigeration for somebody to store food and that kind of thing. And someone donated, not from here, but over there in Romania, donated this to them. And I think somebody else is donating a wee gas cooker so that they can cook their food. We take a lot for granted. Recent photographs just yesterday and today of the orphan projects going well. And these are the kids that are benefiting, and with the sale of the book will benefit in the days that lie ahead. There was a lady called with me last week. She called at the house. I wasn't there, but she left a donation for these orphan children to get some sweets or chocolate at Christmas time. So those, they started to give them out yesterday and today to these children, and they're very thankful for what they have received. And as the workers go out into these remote areas and give out the food to the children, there's also a doctor that travels and sees to their medical needs as well. So it's good that they're being cared for in health. So we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the prayer meeting and Bible study. Thank thee for all the petitions that have been set before thee, those audible ones tonight and those cries of the heart. And we do pray that you will answer our cries according to your own divine and perfect will. We thank thee for the things that we're able to do for the Lord, the service that we can render to him, both at home and even further afield. Thank thee for these children that are being helped in Romania and in India. And we just pray that these little tokens will be a blessing to them at this time, just to let them know that there are Christian people who love them, who care for them, who want the best for them, and who desire more than anything that they will come to put their faith and trust in Christ. Bless your suffering people especially, and those that are sorrowing, those that are in a dark place just now. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, undoubtedly is their prayer. Lord, get them to the rock and give them that sure footing in Christ, the place of refuge. Separate us with your blessing now. Take us to our homes in safety. Watch over the congregation in these days for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Thank you for coming tonight. You'll be careful as you go out. And God willing, we'll see you back in the building in a couple of weeks' time. Meantime, be much in prayer. Thank you.